Welcome to The Sound of Economics, the podcast series by Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic think tank. I'm Giuseppe Porcaro, and this is a summer feature of The Sound of Economics, recorded on the road as part of the Reopening Europe project. We traveled more than 2,700 kilometers through the Netherlands, Germany, France, Austria, Slovenia, and Italy to collect voices from the ground between the 12th and the 27th of June, during the weeks when the borders were reopening after the COVID-19 lockdown.
And one moment they closed off the borders.
Even the one with the salary, they lost the job.
Had to close the restaurant, so it was a little bit stressful.
Nous avons pu travailler avec les partenaires des différents pays.
Finalmente hanno riaperto i confini.
In this episode, we will unpack some reflections about tourism that we have collected along the journey of reopening Europe. The pandemic has devastated global tourism, and many will say good riddance to overcrowded cities and rubbish-strewn natural wonders. However, OECD has estimated that COVID-19 will cause 60% decline in international tourism in 2020. This could rise to 80% if recovery is delayed until December. During our trip, we noticed the direct impact of the lockdown on cities such as Strasbourg or Salzburg, which were practically deserted of the usual tourist crowd. Especially in Salzburg, me and the other teammates of Reopening Europe, we were struck by the locals who we met and told us that they were there for the first time in ages because it was a rare moment by being tourist-free. But it was when we crossed Italy and major tourist cities such as Venice, Florence and Naples that became clear that the impact of the crisis has been felt throughout the entire tourism ecosystem, and reopening and rebuilding destinations will require a joined-up approach, and perhaps a paradigm shift in the industry. I'm happy to be joined for this reflection today by Ivo Tarantino. Hi Ivo, how are you?
Fine, Giuseppe, thank you.
Ivo is the head of public affairs and media relations at Altro Consumo, which is the largest independent and non-party political consumers organizations in Italy. Ivo, I imagine that during the lockdown and in the weeks immediately after, you have been busy with all sorts of questions related to consumers' rights. And I guess a lot of the questions you received and are still receiving, especially now in this period, relate to tourism. Is it correct?
Yes. During the month between March and June, over 20,000 consumers asked Altro Consumo for support for the management of their daily issue related to the COVID-19. They're related to the managing of their money, to the managing of their daily buying issues. And I have to say that the 60% of these questions were related to the travel sector. Cancellation of flights, cancellation of events, cancellation of booking for hotels or Airbnb. Still in this time of the year, we are still managing many questions related, for example, to the luggage policies that the flying company are changing to manage the consequences of the pandemic. So, travel sector is not only a big issue for the economy, but is a big issue for the managing of daily life of consumers.
Well, we're going to explore a little these issues and what is going on. But before, I would like to make you listen to Leone, a gondola driver whom we met in Venice, and the story of Nives Monda, a restaurant owner in the historic center of Naples, whom we met the last day of our trip.
We would like tourists move more, but the situation is really bad all around the heart. There's no way out. We not see the end of the tunnel. But it's almost the same in the capital of Italy, like Rome, Florence, where the tourists go, business is zero, 10%, I don't know exactly, but even all the beaches areas, Lake of Garda here. People have no money to travel. Tourist is off, and we are here. And we are just waiting at a new customer but that never have arrived.
Actually, we had a problem of money because Lidl Tower don't earn enough to stay closed so long time. I have six employees, and so, you know, they got the help for the government, but it was not in time because they just is still waiting this help. And so I had to pay them to anticipate the money because, of course, most of them are very young people and they only this kind of income. And so for me it was very hard to front, to face this kind of problem. The bank are not very helpful with small business, and so you have to spend your face to ask for money.
So this story gives only a glimpse about the actual and dramatic situation that in Italy and elsewhere in the tourist sector and beyond the COVID-19 crisis, lockdown have given. And you have certainly heard more of those kind of stories, if only on the TV news in the past months. But I imagine that, as you mentioned before, as you've been on a daily basis hearing the concerns of the consumers, but also of the companies and all the people, the actors that works in the tourist sector, you have a particular position, an observation deck for telling us what is your main impression about the impact of the pandemic on the tourist sector.
The biggest impact, of course, is the cancellation for almost 3 months of all the travels. Trains, flights, and everything has been cancelled. And the point is that the companies are still using the reason of the COVID-19 to cancel flights and travels right now, even if the lockdown is no longer here in Italy. So we are facing, the long-term effect of this crisis. Also related to the fact that in Italy, the government in March decided that the tour operators and the companies working in this sector can provide consumers just with a voucher. So right now in Italy, the problem is related to the fact that consumers that under the European law should receive a reimbursement for the cancellation of their travels, flights, hotels, and things like that, are not receiving their money back. They are just receiving a voucher. They have no choice. And this is impacting a lot on their, let me say, money, because especially during this period, maybe they would like to have back their money and not just a voucher for a next flight or for a next for an hotel during next year, because they need their money back. And from our point of view, is impacting a lot on the trust of consumers. Right now, many flying companies, many organizations are still canceling their, their services. And that's why people buying tickets, they don't know if when they buy the tickets, you know, the flight will happen, the hotel will open, the concert will happen. And this is impact a lot because after 3 months of lockdown, people still don't feel very confident to travel and to invest their money in traveling. This is something that probably will affect the sector for the coming months, and maybe if the situation is not solved from a health point of view, maybe also in the midterm.
Well, this is what you say, the issue of trust basically concerns the whole system, because if there is no trust from the consumer perspective, even if they are going to plan a holiday, no matter where they are going to plan to have a holiday, if they are staying in Italy or if they are going to go somewhere else, they will be always this uncertainty that would provide, you know, another kind of uncertainty on the side of the tour operators or the hotels and you know, and all the economy that that goes around the tourist sector. That's why I would like to make you listen what Emilio Casalini, who is an Italian journalist working for the RAI, which is the Italian public TV. He's an expert on the issues, and we called him while we were leaving Florence from the Reopening Europe car to give us an overview. The audio is not perfect, so I would apologize to you and to our listeners, but this is part of the technical challenges of doing something on the way, in a car, on a motorway, or with very bad connections sometimes.
In Italy, we have kind of, we can share in three parts our offer for tourism. The main cities, like Florence, Naples, Rome, and Venice, but also many others, like Pisa or some other else. The countryside, with the small villages and the slow tourism, and sea, lakes, and mountains. So the natural side. Okay. Sea, lakes, and mountains are surviving this COVID because they're already mainly booked. And I don't say full booking, but the season is going to be saved for the perspective we have now. Because in many villages, in many, well, the seaside are already booked and almost full. So they're going to save the season. Same for the countryside, but what is going to be destroyed and collapsing are the main cities. And it's very easy to say, oh wow, those cities without tourism, without over-tourism are so nice now. And that's true, but on the other side, there's a problem of the daily surviving of thousands and thousands of people who are working on it. So this is the time to plan the future of our cities. And this is the main question, but we can't plan anything if we don't know what the issue is. And we don't know almost nothing about the system of managing our towns. The last plan for this about Venice was 20 years ago, and nothing else after it. So before to rethink the system of our main towns, we have to know what the situation is. It's like the environmental, the carbon footprint for environmental issues, the sustainability of our town. Like one side, the social and the traditional activity, which is what the people is looking for. On the other side, the economy. But so what is the real capacity of our town, the sustainability? So we have to study first, discuss then, and then take the decision.
So Emilio pointed out to the fact that the pandemic has accelerated problems, especially in the big cities in Italy. But it's a general issue about pointing to city planning, tourism management, and sustainability, which were already there to a certain extent. And I found this idea of calculating a sort of carbon footprint for the impact of tourism in the city quite an interesting one. To illustrate a little bit more the problems that those cities have, we met in Venice Elvio De Monte, who is an architect, and told us how he sees such a footprint in the city he lives in.
The touristic economy, it's simplifying the social structure of the city. Put off the citizens from the city, and also the space for artisans, for artists, for social spaces, they are put off from the pressure of the tourism, the Airbnb, but also the space around Biennale. So the collateral event of Biennale are occupying all the places in town. So the prices are raising very high. Also citizen and artist and worker are spin-off from the city. So I hope the city can find another form, other kind of economies, not only touristic. So I think the digital economy, it's a good option for Venice. But I don't see really this attention from the citizen, also from the municipality. So it's a lost occasion, I think, the COVID for Venice.
If the effects on tourism on Venice are well known, also in the international press, less known is what is going on Naples, in south of Italy. Naples was our final stop of the Reopening Europe road trip, and we heard more from Nives, the restaurant owner whom we've heard earlier on. She told us how she noticed in her neighborhood during the lockdown something that never happened to her to notice before.
And mostly the problem was all the sadness, because for us this kind of business is a family. We used to go in tavern, my son and my daughter come to me to have a lunch and when they go out from school, and so everything was stopped. And one of the things I noticed that the place was completely dead, because when you were walking in the street, you can hear only silence. And I was thinking, why? Because the people is not in the house, because in my building there are 3 B&B on the second and third and the fourth floor. And so it was really empty, the city. It's different than the place where I live, because I live just 3 streets ahead, and there is a popular place and the people is in the house. So when you went to throw out the rubbish, you can hear the voice in the house coming out, and it was a way to feel together. Here was very bad, and by that I understood that we are going in a disaster, because you cannot have a place where the people is not still living. You cannot live only with tourists, because the tourists go and go back, and the city is made by people, not by stones. It's not easy to live in the center. You have no service, no facilities, very few schools. For instance, this place, this square, are 3 schools. In this square, there are 3 schools and no other place, just in another square. So if you want to have your babies close to the place you live, it's very hard to find, you have to move. And the same for the work, for job, you have to move. And so you are in the center, you have no car, and so you can't move. It's not good for the people to organize facilities for inhabitants, because they sell everything for the tourists. And so there is a competition, an unbelievable and horrible competition between the tourists and the inhabitants. And one of the problem you talked about before was the rent of the house. The price here are very high for a flat, there no lift and not so very well restored. You can pay 800 euros for a month, maybe 50 meters, square meters. It's very hard for the family that live here, because you know, in the southern Italy, the incomes are not so high, so it's possible. And that's why the people go away. And some of the owners prefer to rent like a B&B.
So Ivo, it seems to me that both the testimony of Elvio and Nives points out to some sort of structural problem or somehow a competition that the inhabitants versus the tourists, both in terms of services, but when it comes to prices, to shops, to many things related to how you can leave the city centers in those places. I would like to ask you a comment on this, and maybe let us understand a little bit better as well what has been from your point of view the context in which we arrived to this situation even before the COVID-19 pandemic.
You know, I fully agree about the idea that this tourist model is no longer sustainable. And the crisis, the COVID crisis, has shown us the fact that as a solution after the previous crisis in 2008, with this idea of the sharing economy, of people having their flat and putting the flat on Airbnb or on other platform, of people using their competencies to save their life, is something that has deeply changed in the past few years. Tourism model has taken our cities and changed them so deeply that they are no longer somehow our cities, because as your guests were saying, people from the city no longer live there. We cannot shop in the center of our cities. People should move outside the center because they cannot afford the rent of a flat. Is something that was already facing the opposition of some municipalities in Italy and around Europe. But right now, it shows that this model was not sustainable, because we have lost some of the opportunities that we could have exploited before. And right now we have to develop something new, but I fully agree with your previous guests, we are not ready. I think that the crisis that our cities in Italy will face will be pretty long. So this is the moment when sustainability and digitalization probably should take their turn, and we should think together about coming back to something a bit more connected to people living in the cities, and also to the real need of consumers and tourists finding a better balance for our future.
We asked the same question to Emilio as a follow-up to our first consideration.
We don't have to fear the tourism. There's too much fear about the Disneyfication of our places. We have to find a compromise. If we rethink our cities, that means that each part has to lose something, or in changing the perspective, each part has to give something to the others. So it's clear that a part of our cities has to be dedicated for welcome tourists. And that is clear. Tourism is so much important for cities like Venice. Venice is not became a tourist destination in the last 20 years. It's centuries that is a tourist destination. So it's like Rome or Florence. They were already a tourist destination in the 15th century. So it is not a problem of the last 20 years, the last decades. But of course, in the last few, on the last 10 years especially, it has been a very big changement. This change was without control, and that is the problem.
So Emilio points out the need for a balance in this planning, which Ivo, you were also basically pointing out as well in your previous comment, and still consider tourism as a resource, especially for the heavily pandemic-hit Italian cities. The question is also, how do we walk this balance between respecting the way of life of a city and considering the resources that they might bring in? And this is a question for many cities across Europe, not only in Italy. Spain, for example, has been another country in southern Europe heavily hit by the pandemic and also heavily dependent on tourism. When we were driving the Reopening Europe car between Assisi and Teramo in the central part of Italy, we called in Jeanette Newman, who is a Bloomberg correspondent in Madrid, and she gave us an idea of the conversation that is going on over there on the same topic.
before the pandemic, 84 million tourists visited Spain in 2019. So that made the country the second most visited country in the world after France. And again, this is 84 million tourists in a country that has 47 million inhabitants. So that gives you a sense of how many tourists are coming relative to the size of the population. So before the pandemic, there had already been an issue, particularly in cities like Barcelona that are top tourist destinations, of what's known in Spain as turismophobia. And a lot of the turismophobia was just against this kind of mass tourism, right? And you would see that turismophobia kind of manifest itself in terms of simple things like graffiti, kind of near tourist areas in Barcelona and Madrid. There would be some protests, probably some rude words said to tourists as they're walking by. But it also manifested itself in terms of pressure from locals on their elected officials to do something, like, right, so that it's okay, we need tourism for our economy, but we also want to, live in our cities and feel like we're not kind of part of this this mass tourism circuit. So now, all of a sudden, with the pandemic, you have tens of millions of fewer tourists. We don't know what the numbers are going to be at the end of the year, but they are going to be absolutely, of course, a fraction of the 84 million tourists that visited Spain last year. And you can feel that. I live in the center of Madrid, that's a tourist hotspot, and it feels very empty now, even as we are having the opening up of the economy and the restrictions have for the most part been lifted. And so now there's a conversation, this entire industry, tourism, has broken down. And now there's the conversation about how do you build it back up in a way that focuses more on quality rather than quantity. So it's finding that balance that you were saying that they're talking about in Italy as well. And the idea of quality tourism over quantity, I don't want to present that this is something kind of completely new. There's been this conversation for years. The pandemic, however, has provided momentum to that conversation. And it's also provided hotel operators and tour operators would have told me in some of my reporting, a unique opportunity to really think what Spain's tourism industry should look like going forward.
So basically, the situation in Spain described by Jeanette is very similar to the same conversation that we were having here and with Emilio and with the people we met along the way in Italy, which makes me think that as a moment, pivotal moment for the tourism industry now with the shock of COVID-19 pandemic, there is really an opportunity here to start rethink the sector. So it looks to me that the questions that we've been asking and putting so far are going to be quite prominent, especially in countries such as Italy, Spain, Greece, but also other big countries that across the world that have tourism as one of the main industry, about how to diversify and how to ensure that the tourism is going to be a sustainable resource and not something that is going to be part of the problem, especially when a big crisis can be hit. But coming back, Ivo, the fact that we are in holiday season here, a lot of people on the beach, what kind of measures there are in place? For example, the Italian government has put in place some measures in order to facilitate the fact that people should go on holiday despite the situation in a way or another. Is this kind of working, like it's coming back from the more longer term vision about the future, but more from the short term situation about coping with the emergency and the crisis? What exactly is being taken on board at the moment?
Right now, I think we should focus on a couple of issues and solutions that government has taken or should take. The first one is helping people, Italian people, with their buying power. A lot of people have lost their income during the economic and health crisis, and so the government has created these holiday bonus, which is provided to people under a certain level of income. This measure is somehow working. It's not yet perfect. Many hotels do not accept this measure. People are not very, informed about the way to access this measure. So something could be better, but somehow is working, especially in this moment where international tourists are not coming. And so we have to reinforce the local in the Italian tourism to sustain the industry. So this is something that has been put in place and somehow is working. The other side is related, again, to trust. To start booking your train, your flight, your hotel, your house, you need to feel reassured by the context that you won't waste your money. So we hope that the actions that are now put in place by the European Commission or the local antitrust authority to restore the right of consumer to have the reimbursement in case of cancellation of a travel can become actual as soon as possible, because this is part of the trust that people should have. And so if I feel confident, anything happens, I will get my money back. Maybe I start booking again my travels, my holidays, maybe also just a weekend with my family. And this is something that could really help the economic solution of the health crisis. So this is something in the, let me say, very short term and in the midterm that are part of the solution of the problem.
Thank you, Ivo. And of course, we could continue to speak for a longer time about all these issues, which really touches upon a sector which is specific, but as you mentioned, touches upon trust of citizens and consumers, touches upon the planning of our cities, and touches upon the future and sustainability of the environment. It's a very wide topic, but we have only a certain amount or limited space in our episode, which I would like to remind our listeners was part of the Reopening Europe summer feature of The Sound of Economics. I would also like to remind that you can find more podcasts, video, and information about our road trip on the website www.reopeningeurope.com. And on the 2nd of September, during the Bruegel annual meetings, we will launch a documentary from Reopening Europe, and you can keep up to date with the launch and the program of the annual meetings on www.bam.bruegel.org. Thank you for tuning in to The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.